Life happens to those who show up, and I'm glad you showed up with us today. I'm your host, Daniel Robert Sanchez, and welcome back to Mind Flow, a show to help you find your flow. Hit that subscribe button before we get started so you never miss an episode. Think about the last time you sat down to think about life and about what you really want. Not about the things you need, like a new pair of shoes for the summer or an electric lawnmower or more money to pay the bills or your groceries delivered to your home each week. I'm talking about what you really, really want. What you want to achieve in life. Today I want to talk about practicing visualization techniques through the lens of business development. Sound good? All right, let's flow. Visualization is a pretty common mindfulness technique. It can be found in leadership, in sports, in business, you name it. Just ask Tony Robbins or Oprah Winfrey or Jim Carrey or Michael Phelps or Mel Robbins. Even the late Kobe Bryant, or Bob Proctor, and Wayne Dyer, and Napoleon Hill. What do they all have in common? They believe in the power of visualization. And before I mention how you can apply it to whatever you want to get at work, or in business, or in the big picture of your life, I want to set the stage first. Because my goal isn't to convince you or anyone else to practice visualization. And if you're an extremely literal or logical person, I urge you to continue listening. Because if you can set aside your skepticism for a few more minutes, then you'll see that visualization can be used for day-to-day pragmatic reasons. For practical reasons, even if you see the world through an extremely realistic or matter-of-fact or business-oriented pair of sunglasses, the power of visualization is real. And remember, this show is for open-minded people who are looking for alternate ways of doing things, and for people who want to expand their awareness, and for people who are willing to learn and apply practices that most people won't even try. So if you need any type of convincing about this, then this show isn't for you. But if you've come to the realization that you've accepted yourself as you're ready to change and explore different ideas to become a better version of yourself, then I invite you to keep listening. But I don't want to waste your time. And I promise you, until you're ready to start treating your time like it's the most valuable resource on the planet, if you're not willing to listen with a non-judgmental or biased viewpoint, everything I say is going to sound like gibberish, and I don't want to waste your time. You can probably waste your time on something more fun, like Netflix or video games or watching TikTok or scrolling through your phone. You get the picture. All right, moving on. Over the last few years, I've read a lot of books about self-development or coaching, or business, and in each one of them, they talk about the power of visualization. But let me invite you to understand one of the best ways I've ever learned how to use it. How? In Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, Stephen Covey coined the phrase, "Begin with the end in mind." Quote, "All things are created twice. There's a mental, or first creation, and a physical or second creation to all things," end quote. But what does it really mean to begin with the end in mind? It means to understand the end result, to begin each day with a task or a project and a clear vision of your desired direction so you can use those proactive muscles that you have to get things done. Visualization is a mindfulness technique. But it gets a bad rap because there are so many people who think that it only deals with spirituality. But it doesn't. The truth is, you don't need to be spiritual to benefit from visualizing. You can imagine what you want to achieve in the future as if it was true today, and it trains your brain to respond to that outcome as if it was true in the present moment. For example, for my last two interviews, in my mind and using my imagination, I visualized talking to the three most powerful people at work, the ones who had the most influence on hiring, and I visualized them asking me the questions and then me answering the questions directly to them, over and over and over. Then when I got to the interview, it made things a lot easier for me. I didn't have so much anxiety. I could think more clearly because I practiced it mentally before I applied it physically in the real world. I also used visualization to practice my interview for becoming a sales manager. I did it the same way. Instead of reading interview questions that I thought would be asked, I imagined the most influential people in sales asking me the questions. And doing that over and over disarmed my fight or flight response system and made me more relaxed and more comfortable. I wasn't in my head. I was able to listen to understand and respond to the question they asked. I was myself with no anxiety, no fear, and no worry. I also visualized that moment when they said, "Congratulations, you got the job," and they shook my hand and smiled and gave me a high five, and visualized their excitement in their eyes and the tone in their voice, congratulating me on a job well done. I didn't do it once or twice. I did it over and over and over until my mind, my body, and my spirit and my nervous system believed it already happened. That type of visualization that I used is called process visualization, which is envisioning every step towards a desired outcome. Beginning with the end in mind is called outcome visualization, envisioning the desired future endpoint. Have a vision of what you want, where you want to be, and work your way backwards. I visualized myself as a coach, who I was coaching, what I was coaching, in the act of coaching. And as a manager, I did the same thing. Where did I sit? What kind of meetings was I in? Who was in the meetings with me? What was I talking about in those meetings? How was I applying the coaching that I learned from being a coach? I visualized all of that before visualizing myself in the interviews. I started with the end in mind, and then I worked my way backwards. You can do it for buying a home, that person you've had your eye on for so long, getting a degree or a certificate or a promotion. I wouldn't recommend it if I didn't know it worked myself, because I've done it and I'm still doing it. And you can too, and you should. All right, so I've covered the what and the why in regards to beginning with the end in mind. Now I'm going to talk about the how. Here are five simple steps that you can use for practice. Number one, what do you want to achieve? Write it down. Number two, be honest with yourself. Where are you right now when it comes to your goals? Number three, what are the most direct routes that you can think of to get you from where you are now to where you want to be? Number four, write a mission statement that talks about your goal, why it's important to you, and how you're going to accomplish it. But be very specific, extremely specific. Number five, this one's the most important. Decide right now, fully commit that you're going to do what it takes to make your goal a reality. 100% full commitment. Not one foot in, one foot out, both feet in, all in. That's how you start with the end in mind. Because once you do all of that, go back to number four and visualize yourself walking through your mission statement with specificity, using all five of your senses as if it was done. And that's it. That's all I got today. Take two of those and call me in the morning. And if you like today's show, share it with someone you love or care about. And keep learning to find your flow.